Τελειά.
O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Shukadeva Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore, because in the previous verse, he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of bhakti yoga. The bhakti yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods, like hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service in love, becoming friendly, and offering all that one may possess. All nine methods are bona fide methods, and either of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadeva, who is the powerful incarnation of Godhead. And since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the super soul of everything, he should therefore be heard and glorified everywhere and always. That is the special duty of the human being. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish transmitted by man-made machines. Machinery is not bad, because through the machine one can take advantage of hearing about the Lord. But because machinery is used for ulterior purposes, it is creating rapid degradation in the standard human civilization. In the standard of human civilization. It is said here that it is incumbent upon the human beings to hear, because the scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, are made for that purpose. Living beings, other than human beings, have no ability to hear such Vedic literatures. If human society gives itself to the process of hearing the Vedic literature, it will not become a victim to the impious sounds vibrated by impious men who degrade the standards of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord. All the great acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya, Saraswati Thakur, or even in other countries, Muhammad, Christ, and others, have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and place. This is called Sanatan Dharma, or Bhagavat Dharma. Sanatan means eternal, always and everywhere. Bhagavata means pertaining to Bhagavan, the Lord. The Lord is the master of all time and all space. And therefore, the Lord's holy name must be heard, glorified, and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. The word cha includes all the remaining processes or methods of bhakti yoga as mentioned above. Tasmat savatmana rajan hari sarvatra sarvada shrotavya kirtatavya cha smritavyo bhagavanana omadhyanatmanandasya dhyananjana shalakaya chakshanamratam dhyanatrasman shikaravina. This verse is practically the essence of all Vedic knowledge. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada visited the Spiritual Sky of Incense Factory in Los Angeles, he told the devotees that our only business is to remember Krishna and never forget him. So he had that motto hung over the big warehouse so that we would not forget Krishna at any time. The smart of yo. Satatam Vishnu. That is the art. How to learn how to arrange one's life so that throughout 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And it's not possible to forget Krishna. How to do that. That is the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. To help every sincere soul learn that art. Srila Prabhupada, his spiritual master, had mastered that art and he came and brought it to the West and taught us how to do it. It's not so difficult. He's given us the program, this Mangal Arti. Perhaps some of you are not familiar, but actually, we didn't always perform Mangal Arti in this movement. There was a time when in the centers, the devotees would be performing Harinam till late at night in certain places. And we take rest late and get up also, correspondingly later. But Srila Prabhupada at a certain point considered that it was of paramount importance that the devotees rise early every morning and come before the deities for Mangal Arati and chanting japa and take advantage of the Brahma Muhurta period. The Brahma Muhurta period is period 1.5 hours before the sunrise. And it is especially meant for Brahma, spiritual cultivation. And any type of devotional hearing and chanting, especially during that time, or any devotional service, is amplified, is intensified, and the results are greater than any other time during the day. That's why it's almost a crime spiritually to be asleep during that time. Because it's like a bonus. If you're just awake and you're chanting and hearing, then you make more advancement during that time. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada very expertly designed our program, our schedule, so that we get up early and we take bath and we see the deities, we dress the deities, decorate, cook for them, distribute literature. All these activities are scientifically arranged so that if we engage in them, we cannot but think of Krishna. For example, if you're distributing books about Krishna, then how can you not think of Krishna? It makes it very easy. And if you're worshiping the deity, how can you not think of Krishna? And if you're cooking for the Lord, you know that it has to be offered first. You know, I cannot imagine eating this before it's offered, or that it's all for His pleasure. So in this way, our consciousness is directed towards the Lord. And any of these activities, they're all transcendental, they're all absolute. There's not that one is better than the other. Sometimes there are transcendental rivalries between devotees of different services. One group feels that their service is superior to another. That's all right. But actually, they're not. They're all on the same transcendental absolute platform. And we have the example of Ambarish Maharaj, who was so expert a devotee that he engaged in all nine processes. Shravana Kirtana, Smarana Vandana, Parasevanam, Dasyam, Satyam, Atmanam, Vedanam. Pujanam, Archanam. Nine processes, Prahlad Maharaj said when he was speaking to his father. His father asked him what was the best thing he learned. So he told him, best thing is hearing, chanting, and remembering Vishnu. No one else. No, not the demigod, not the politicians, not the family members, not the dog, but Vishnu. Vishnu should be glorified in all circumstances. And there's no hard and fast rules for glorifying Him. Can be done also late at night, or any time, on the mountains, in the valley, wherever one has the opportunity, on the radio, television, in the purport, it's described that if we don't glorify Vishnu, what will happen is we'll produce rubbish sounds and glorify ridiculous things. We do. We see that's going on because there's a lack of Krishna consciousness in the world. There's so much machinery producing rubbish sound vibrations. A devotee is not sentimental. He knows how to distinguish between that which is transcendental and that which is mundane. It's not that he imitates the first class devotee and considers everything to be spiritual. Because even if he is first class, for preaching work it comes down to the second class platform, or at least the second class outlook, and he makes distinctions. So we have to distinguish. Otherwise, if we don't distinguish between Maya and Krishna Katha, then we'll end up hearing Maya, thinking that it's Krishna, and the result will be that we won't make any advancement. Our spiritual life will be stolen away. We must consider devotional service like a jewel, very valuable jewel, and we have to carefully protect it from robbers. If you're carrying a valuable jewel with you, you'll always be mindful that someone may come and steal it. So a devotee has to be like that. Careful. Otherwise, we're in this is the kingdom of Maya. Maya's waiting at every step. She has her plunderers. Lust, anger, greed. And they're waiting to capture, take away our attraction to Krishna. As we sometimes hear, the devotional service is like a creeper. Bhaktilata Bij. And this creeper, the plant, it grows up. But one must be very careful to fence all around the creeper, because otherwise animals may come and eat it, or someone may step on it, because it's fragile. So our devotional creeper is quite fragile, and if we're not specially vigilant, then we may lose. And if the creeper gets trampled, then what good is it? It doesn't produce any fruit. You don't get any flowers, no fruit, no love of Godhead. So it's very important. And the way to protect is to always carefully stay in the association of devotees. Why is it so great to stay in the association of devotees? Because we're having Bhagavatam class with devotees. If you go to any non-devotee home, they're not having Bhagavatam class right now. Isn't that? Does anyone know of any non-devotee homes that are having Bhagavatam class right now? Dr. Jeremy, do you know of any? No. They're not having it. I can assure you. So that's the difference. That's why we associate with devotees. And we have Mangalarti, and we talk about Krishna, we chant, and we don't feel bad about doing it. You don't feel guilty. If you associate with non-devotees, you have to hide. You have to chant quietly away so no one will see you. It's more difficult. It can be done. We're not saying that it's impossible. But it's much more difficult. So why not take the easy path? Stay in the association of devotees where the hearing and chanting is so naturally done. That is the program. And we're trying to broadcast it. These books, of course, are the... There's an interesting point in the purport here. That all the Vedic literatures are for hearing. That means that this is the chanting of Vyasadeva and Srila Shukadeva Goswami. And it's a fact, isn't it? It's recorded chanting. Just as you have a tape recorder, you can record someone's voice. So this Bhagavatam is the recorded words of Shukadeva Goswami, of Vyasadeva, written down, and now we get a chance to hear it. So we can also use machines, not only books, we can use tapes and we can use videos, anything. Anasaktasya vishayani thavanapuyamjita nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukti vairagyamjita. All these things can be utilized in the service of the Lord. Radios. Then, these same things, which are now causing degradation, can cause liberation. There's a saying that a thorn, if you get a thorn stuck in your arm, you take another thorn to get it out. Or, the same example, if one overindulges in eating milk products, then he gets indigestion. So the solution, the cure to the indigestion, is another milk product in a little different form, curd or yogurt, cures the indigestion. So in the same way, hearing the wrong thing is what's caused our degradation, and hearing the right thing will cause the cure. And above and beyond all other types of hearing, the hearing and chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It's not sectarian. It's not just for Hindus. It's not that this is Sanskrit language and therefore it's not applicable to all parts of the world. No, it's for everyone. Krishna is the Lord, Jagat Guru, Jagat Ishvara, Jagannath, he's the Lord of the universe. So anywhere in this universe, we're all subordinate to Lord Jagannath or Lord Krishna. It's simply they have forgotten. People don't know, but they should be reminded. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that this movement would spread. Vritti vitte yachi yata nagara digram sarvatra puchar hoivin moranam to every town and village in the world. And it's happening. So wonderful to be part of this movement that's actually fulfilling the prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is spreading to every town and village in the world. Just like a few years ago, we would have, if someone had told us, Say 10 years ago, someone had said to you, would you believe that there would be 300 centers in the Soviet Union by 1995? We'd say, no. No way. If somebody said, would you believe that there would be thousands of initiated devotees, they'd be having Rath Yatra festivals in the cities of Soviet Union by 1995? No, impossible. We might not have said the word impossible, because we know that we're not supposed to say that word. But we might have said that it's unlikely. But now it's happening. We have proof, so many from that part of the world are here with us, giving us association, inspiring us. So this is Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that the holy names are being spread to every town and village. But it's a great opportunity for us to take part in this movement, and we want to increase it more and more. We don't want that now that we have some temples and some devotees that we relax. No, we want to increase more devotees. We want more books to grow up. We want to open more centers, more and more. Why? Because that's the desire of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and our spiritual master. And our business is to please them. So because Prabhupada came to the West on the order of his Guru Maharaj, and we are continuing to develop near Vrindavan on the order of Srila Prabhupada, and all over the world, devotees are preaching in different circumstances. It is really very glorious. And if we continue enthusiastically, it can change the world. It can actually purify the polluted consciousness, the misdirected civilization. So, every day we should be developing that fervent desire to preach Krishna consciousness, to give it to others, because, as also pointed out in the purport, hearing is solidified by chanting. And when one hears properly, the natural result is that he will want to chant, he will want to preach. So, if we're not burning with the desire to preach, it means we haven't heard sufficiently. We have to hear more. Get those books out. Prabhupada's books. Not other books. Prabhupada's books. And read them. Hear again and again and again until we get that desire to preach. Because if we don't have the desire to preach, then it will be difficult to extinguish the blazing fire of material existence. Because it's a very, the fire is very big, and we need a very big supply of water. And that supply of water must come from the cloud. And the cloud of mercy is the spiritual master. But what is his mercy? It's his teaching. Gauravani, or Guruvani. There's two types of presence with the spiritual master. The Vapu, the physical presence, and the Vani means his words, his vibration. So he's giving his vibration, that is the best mercy, that is the rainfall that is extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. And if we feel relieved how nice it is to be free from the blazing fire, then we should do good to others and extinguish their fire by giving them the same transcendental message. We shouldn't worry that I'm not a good preacher, I'm not educated, or I'm not eloquent, or I'm not outgoing. No. These are all material calculations. Ahoitukya putiyata. Devotional service is not limited by any kind of material considerations. This is the instruction. And Srila Shukadeva Goswami. So thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
We can preach and we offer all our services and whatever we do for Krishna for all we are.
That's also nice. If you're assisting the preachers, that's a fact. In fact, Srila Prabhupada once had a servant, or a secretary, and he had been with him for some time, and the devotee was feeling a little restless, wanted to go out, preach. So finally he got up the courage and he said, Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to go out and preach myself. Prabhupada said, my preaching is not sufficient? In other words, he was doing service to Srila Prabhupada so that Prabhupada could preach more effectively by having someone assisting him, cooking his meals and taking care of correspondence and things. He was facilitating Prabhupada's preaching. So, yes, the fact is, if you're facilitating others' preaching, then that's big preaching.
What do you say to someone if they say, well, you're saying that your Krishna thing is like the highest, and that seems kind of sectarian, just like the Christians. How do you reply to that?
Well, we're just repeating what Krishna says. Krishna says, always think of me. And we have faith in the Vedic literatures. We have some Shraddha. In the Vedic literatures state, iti shodashakam namnam kalikamasham nashanam. That Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That if you study, if you go through all the Vedic literatures, you will not find a means which is more effective for counteracting the ills of Kali Yuga than the Maha Mantra. And the Maha Mantra is actually listed there. This is in the Kali Sartana, Kali Santana Upanishad. And there are many statements, specifically that the Maha Mantra is designed to counteract the pernicious effects of Kali Yuga. It's the, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an incarnation, or he's Krishna himself, he also chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and recommended it for everyone, specifically in this age. So we're not claiming for ourselves. We don't know anything. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it, and Upanishads say it, and Srila Prabhupada and all these great personalities, Narad Muni. So we're just following, and we're seeing that it works. If you have another method of chanting God's names that's working for you, then do that. But we find, if you don't have any name, if you're not sure what God's name is, well, take this name. And you shouldn't have any difficulty taking this one if you don't know what God's name is. If you have a name, then chant that. And if you're developing love for God every day and becoming blissful and free from material attachments, then that means it's working. And if not, if you're not blissful, if you're miserable, suffering, full of anxiety, etc., then chant Hare Krishna. Why be stubbornly opposed to chanting if you're actually miserable? Most people are miserable. So most people should chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Does anyone of the nine processes can get the same goal, the desired result? But then why can't I sit in my room and read all day?
And you fall asleep. Right? So you won't read all day, you'll be snoring all day. That's why. Because we have this body. And as long as we have this body which is conducted by the modes of material nature, we have to be very expert to make sure that the body doesn't dictate, doesn't become influenced by the lower modes. And that takes some practice. So maybe later on, you'll be able to sit and read for more periods of time. But reading isn't necessarily the ultimate goal either. The ultimate goal is to fulfill the mission of the spiritual master, to carry out his order. If the guru orders you to sit in your room and read all day, like that illiterate Brahmin, his guru, now there's a real interesting case. He couldn't even read, but his guru ordered him to read the Bhagavad Gita every day. So he took the Gita and he was trying to read it because it was the order of the spiritual master. And ultimately he attained love of God by carrying out that order, even though he couldn't read. So that's the real thing. Not that one must prevail over the others. Whatever you're asked to do, It's like Lord Chaitanya, some of his disciples, he told him, now you just worship the deity. Someone else said, now you go to Vrindavan and open temples and write books. And you go back to Bengal and you preach. He gave different instructions. And he said, you just worship Tulsi Devi. And you just be my assistant. And you, so many different services. They're all absolute. They're all perfect according to time and circumstance. That is the skill of the spiritual master, to engage us perfectly. So if you're engaged right now in taking care of the cows, that's perfect. Krishna was doing that, and you've been engaged in that by divine arrangement. So be completely satisfied, peaceful doing that. And you'll get all realizations, just as if you were reading all day, or even better, because this is your duty. If you try to do someone else's duty, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Yes, he says if you try to perform someone else's duty, it's dangerous. That was what Arjuna wanted to do.
Imperfectly.
Yeah, better to perform your own imperfectly even than to try to perform someone else's perfectly. Arjuna wanted to give up his duty and do more, you know, brahminical things, be more kind and forgiving. But Krishna said, that's not your duty. Your duty is to not be forgiving. Right now, I'm telling you, fight. You get it? Krishna's mercy is everything. And then sometimes we feel what?
Sometimes we feel grumpy.
Grumpy.
Yeah. Well, actually I'm not. If I was. Is that true?
You're not grumpy.
Yeah, Krishna made me that way.
So the question is, are you or are you not grumpy when you feel that way?
Yeah.
Well, I know what you mean. Grumpiness is real, but it's temporary. So, we want to eliminate that temporary grumpiness by Krishna consciousness. We don't say it's not, it doesn't exist. That would be my lie, to say that it's false. It's real, but it's not your natural state. It's not your real, proper consciousness. So you should remove that by Krishna consciousness. Antarashtriya Bhagavatam ki jai.